It was the Sabbath day, and Jesus was in the synagogue. Luke chapter 13 tells us that there was a woman there who had been crippled for 18 years listening to Jesus speak. The problem this woman had was with her back. She was bent over and she couldn't get straight. It was pretty severe, and Luke, who was a physician, knows all about this sort of thing, and so he wrote about it in Luke chapter 13. For 18 years, this woman couldn't stand straight. For 18 years, this woman couldn't reach the cupboards. For 18 years, she could hardly look at somebody eye to eye. For 18 years, this woman had suffered, and during the course of those years, it was very likely that more and more people looked down on her, not just physically, but metaphorically as well. For all they knew, she was cursed. Why else would she have that problem? Who would want anything to do with someone like that? But on this day, as Jesus was speaking in the synagogue, Luke chapter 13 and verse 12 tells us that when Jesus saw her, he called her forward. Can you imagine that? Calling her forward. She probably wanted nothing to be in the spot. She did not want to be in the spotlight, I could imagine. I could imagine she just wanted to be in the shadows. And there in verse 12, when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." And then he put his hands on her, and immediately, Scripture says, and in my notes I underlined that word immediately she straightened up and praised God. This was truly an exciting moment in this woman's life. You would think that everyone would be happy for her. But as it turns out, not everybody was so excited. There was these rulers in the synagogue who were not thrilled that Jesus had healed a woman on the Sabbath. Verse 14 says that they were indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. They were so upset because Jesus was breaking the rules. "You can't do that here," they thought. "Don't you know what today is? Don't you know that this is the Sabbath and this is the synagogue, and of all places you're breaking the Sabbath here?" They were indignant. "You're breaking the policies. You can't heal someone today." And I can imagine for a moment, this woman doesn't know what to do. On the one hand, she's excited. For the first time in 18 years, she can stand up straight and look someone in the eye. And yet on the other hand, the people are upset. Some of them are complaining. She doesn't know if she should shout for joy or quietly slither out of the room. Talk about throwing cold water on a great celebration moment. But Jesus isn't done. He has the last word. And he sets things straight. He says to the leaders, he says, "Should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" And with that, the opponents were humiliated or silenced, and the people were pleased with what the Lord had done. It's a great miracle. Right there in front of the crowds,
He calls her forward, and immediately he places his hands on her, and immediately she is healed. And it's easy to focus on the miracle, as we should, rightly so, focus on such a great miracle. But there's more in this story. On the one hand, we have the rulers who see a crippled old lady. That's all she was to them. A crippled lady. On the other hand, we see Jesus who sees the woman as a daughter of Abraham. I'm not sure we get the full impact of that statement in our day and age. It doesn't really mean all that much to us. But for that woman in that day to be a daughter or a son of Abraham meant the world. It meant that you were somebody. It meant, above all things, that God has an interest in your life. That you weren't just nobody or nothing or insignificant or meaningless. It meant that you were somebody. And Jesus refers to her as the daughter of Abraham. On the one hand, there were those who saw the woman as a liability, a problem. Oh, there she is again. Same crippled lady coming in here for 18 years. Oh, man. On the other hand, we have Jesus who sees her as an asset, a daughter of Abraham. And here's the point. Here's the point. Jesus not only gives back this woman her health, but perhaps even more important to her, he gives her her dignity. In effect, Jesus is saying to those leaders in the synagogue, those rulers, this isn't just some crippled old lady you're grumbling about. This isn't just somebody that you can cast aside and ignore and disregard. It is very intentional that Jesus refers to her as a daughter of Abraham. Jesus is good at doing things like this. Later on in Luke chapter 19, verse 9, you get the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wasn't a very popular guy, not by any stretch of the imagination. And after Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus is over, before it's over, Jesus refers to Zacchaeus, Luke 19, verse 9, as a son of Abraham. You see it there again. Someone who has been relegated to nothingness is being raised up. This too is a son of Abraham. This woman is a daughter of Abraham. These are people, these are important people, these are significant people, these are people who God cares about. And I can imagine for the first time in a long time, this woman in Luke 13 was able to walk home standing straight and feeling 10 feet tall, and not just because her back was healed, but also because her soul was healed. I can imagine her. The scripture doesn't say that this is what happened, but I could just imagine her walking home towards after leaving the synagogue and just running it through her mind. A daughter of Abraham. I'm a daughter of Abraham. I haven't been called that in years. For the first time in nearly 20 years, she was somebody. Somebody that mattered. Not just healed, in her body, but Jesus' words brought healing deep within her as well. What we see in this miracle is the difference between words that hurt and words that heal. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. Words that hurt are easy. They're always easy. When things go wrong, it's easy to lash out. It's easy to speak without thinking. I've done it too many times. It's easy to spew out. It's easy to put down. It's easy to be self-righteous. However we put it, hurting words are easy. They are meant to sting, and they do sting. Somebody does something differently than you. It's easy to bring out hurting words. Somebody fails. It's easy to bring out hurting words. And yet, words that heal don't come nearly that quickly. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, Paul commands us, encourage one another and build each other up. Encourage one another. One of the greatest marks of the church, one of the most significant things we can do, among others, of course, is to encourage one another. We all struggle. We all have bad days. We all get bad news from time to time. We all hurt. We stumble. We stumble in many ways, James says. Paul says, encourage one another. Build each other up. There are already so many forces that are trying to tear each other down. You're not young enough. Or you're not old enough. You're not strong enough. You're not smart enough. You're not thin enough. You're not fast enough. You're not attractive enough. You're not this or that. I can't trust you. And on it goes. Words that tear down are all around us. Sometimes we put them in ourselves. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. Maybe it's because of something we heard at some point, and we take it to heart, and we harbor it, and we let it grow. And it's precisely in this kind of a world where we, the Church of Jesus Christ, needs to be a place where we give encouraging words, words of life, words of hope, words of healing. Along with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, Paul writes to the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. I need to be reminded of this verse. I need to write this down and paste it on my walls and on my door, on my computer at the office, maybe my background image or something. Because quite often my words are about me. They're about what makes me look good or what promotes my thoughts or my agenda. It comes so naturally. It does. Paul says, not only to not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. There's that theme again, as it was in 1 Thessalonians. Build each other up, is what he said in 1 Thessalonians. Building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. Building others up. And you know, it doesn't really take much to change a life with a word. Let me tell you the story about Mary. This is an old story. It was in the 50s. Mary had a problem. Because of some abnormality, she was unable to speak clearly. Her speech was garbled all her life. With all the teasing, and there was lots of it, Mary grew up hating the fact that she was different. She was convinced that no one outside her family could ever love her. And she might even wonder at times if they loved her. That is until she entered Mrs. Leonard's class. Mrs. Leonard was a teacher who had a warm smile. Everyone in the class liked her, but Mary came to love her. In the 1950s, it was common for the teachers to give their children an annual hearing test. However, in Mary's case, not only did she have a problem with her speech, she was barely able to hear out of one ear. The last thing that Mary needed was people to make fun of her hearing as well as her speech. So each year, Mary would cheat on her hearing test. She was supposed to cover her one ear while listening with the other, but in fact, she wouldn't fully cover her ear. She only pretended to do so and kept it open so that she could actually hear from it as well. And then the teacher would whisper something into the other ear, something mundane like, the sky is blue, or your shirt is white, and the child would have to repeat that. But on that day, Mrs. Leonard said seven words that changed Mary's life forever. When it was time for the whisper test, Mary heard the words, I wish you were my little girl. A simple statement said with heartfelt sincerity changed a life. I can only imagine how Mary must have felt that day. For the first time, she felt like she mattered. And in Luke chapter 13, for the first time in probably 18 years, this woman who had been crippled felt like she mattered. What would it look like for you and I to freely give out words of encouragement? What would it look like in our homes? What would it look like in our relationships, husbands and wives, parents and children, children and parents? What would it look like in our places of employment? What would it look like on our committees What would it do to the people around you? What impact would it have? James chapter 3 describes the power of the tongue, both for building up or for tearing down. Scripture tells us repeatedly to build each other up. Jesus used his words to build people up. To the woman who had a bad back for 18 years, he called her a daughter of Abraham. To the woman who was caught in adultery, he said, "Go and sin no more." To Zacchaeus, who was hated by just about everyone, he said, "I'm coming to your house today." And before the day was over, he said, "You too are a son of Abraham." To the children who most people didn't pay much attention to, Jesus took them in his arms, placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. And the last time Jesus would be with his disciples, Luke chapter 24, what's he doing? His last encounter, earthly encounter with his disciples. Last time. This is it. Until the second coming. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken into heaven. The very last act of Jesus on earth, while he was blessing them, he was taken into heaven. What a gift to speak words of blessing. One writer put it this way: in a world where people are verbally battered, we have the privilege of being the voice of blessing. It's not only a privilege, it's also a sacred trust. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, "I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." We not only have the privilege of being the voice of blessing, it is a sacred trust. So the question for us today is, who can you be a blessing to today? Who can you say, "You're doing a great job. I believe in you. I know you can do it. Don't give up." Who can you say, "I am sure blessed to have you in my life"? Wow. If you have anybody in your life, there's someone you can say that to. Thank you for being such a good listener. Thank you for putting your things away. You're the best. I'm proud of you. I know you're going to do great. You can do this. Who can you bless today? And this morning, I also recognize that sometimes we haven't received the words of blessing. We've received words that hurt. And this morning I want to give you a moment. If you have been a person who has constantly received words of hurt, and they have been bearing down on you, and maybe you've come to believe them, and maybe you don't think that you're anybody I believe God would say to you, you too are a son or daughter of Abraham. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you just want time to pray, I want to encourage you to pray. And maybe there's somebody that God is putting on your heart to pray for or to bless. And you just want to pray about that. Not that you've been hurt, but you want to be a blessing to somebody. And you want to pray for that. I encourage you to do that as well. However your needs are, I believe God is here to meet those needs. Let us pray. Let us be a blessing to one another. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just come to You this morning. And Lord, we come both as victims and perpetrators. We come both as people who have had hurting words tossed at us. And we also come as those who sometimes toss those hurting words to others. And Lord, we ask You to forgive us of that. And I pray this morning, Lord, that if, particularly if there's someone here who has been the recipient of words that have hurt deeply, deeply wounded, and they just need that grace and touch and presence of God and the encouragement of God's people, I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to just to be honest about that and to bring that to You. And Lord, I pray that You'd help each one of us to be people who bring words of healing, words of hope, and words of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.